You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
You are listening to the number one horse podcast in the world. Here is your entertaining look at the horse world and the people in it.
Good morning, everybody. I am Glenda Geek in Ocala, Florida.
And I am Jamie Jennings. Yay. Back in Norman, Oklahoma. You're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for Wednesday, April 29th, episode 3937, brought to you by Chewy. Good morning, horse people.
Welcome back, buddy. It's so glad to have you back.
Oh my gosh. It's the best weekend all year. You can't argue with it. So,
and you didn't get poured on and no tornadoes, or it didn't snow either. It was great.
I know. The only thing that happened was I was flying from Lexington to Chicago, Chicago to Oklahoma City, and Chicago was inundated. So I got to know the inside of the Chicago airport very well.
Just spend a little time there, huh?
And the cool part is I didn't actually even fly to Dallas or to Oklahoma City when I got my flights all canceled because of wind in Chicago and rain. I ended up, was really fun, having to catch an extra flight to Tulsa, Oklahoma, where Larissa and I then rented a car and drove home. So, you know, it was a whole day or two of excitement. So, but you know what? It's
You're
the
here.
Best weekend all year. I'm here.
Well, we have a fun show planned for you today. In our Where Are They Now segment, we have an old friend of the show who I met in 2009. She's been a part of the Horse Radio Network and been coming on the shows for a long time. And she's also director of operations at Road to the Horse. Tammy Srance is joining us, so it'd be fun to catch up with Tammy again. Also, Deanne from Horse Nation makes her monthly visit to talk about some interesting, fun stuff. We have some weird news. And Jamie's going to tell us a little bit. Well, also on the Auditor Post show, I have a snake story. And you said you have one, too?
I have just a general husband life story that I'm going to share.
All right. And you all know how I like snakes. So you're going to hear about my very close-up experience in the post show. But you're back. And from the pictures and from all your posts, it looks like you just had a fun weekend.
Man, it's just fantastic. There's just shopping and people, and I got to meet so many listeners. It was just really, really fun. So just, you know, I went with this group of girls and I planned out every minute of everything. We ended up bailing on half of it because we were just having fun drinking Bloody Marys and like walking around the horse show. We got to go see Cody's Wish, which was really, really
statue.
Cool. The statue at the horse park. Oh my gosh, something happens when you walk up to it and like some sort of swirling dust attacks your eyeballs and just makes your eyes water. Oh my God, it was so beautiful. It was so beautiful. So that was something really special. And the horse park in general is just a lot of fun. And met listeners, had breakfast with listeners, hung out at the...
I gotta ask you about that. You went to the castle. Well, how did you end up at the castle?
So the castle, they actually do food there. There's a whole history to the giant castle in Versailles, but now most recently it is open for like a wedding venue and then extremely fancy restaurants. So do you want the real truth?
You're bougie?
Well, we thought we were bougie and we went in there. And I mean, it was so magical to be in there because I've looked at it since I was 9 years old and always wanted to. And it was really, really neat. And the food was really bad. But I did get to meet a listener. She was at the table next to us. That made it really, really fun. And then we toured the castle.
It's cool inside. I mean, it's really cool.
Oh, they made it. It's so beautiful. It's so beautiful. But we went up to the top. You could take the elevators to the top and you're standing up there. And they must do weddings up there because you know how they have those big turrets, those big circular turrets. Yeah. In one of those turrets, because I was like opening all the doors, because why not? There was a bathroom in one of them. And I was like, you guys, I'm going to pee in a turret. So I went to the restroom in the very top of the castle. I was like, this is one of my favorite things today. I'm peeing in a turret. But it was just a really fun experience to go to the castle. It was really cool. But I would say like tour it, maybe not dine there. I mean, I don't know how other people's experience, but it was a lovely morning.
But then the competition was terrific. And show jumping down to the final. Oh, that was something else.
We were pulling so hard for the little off the track thoroughbred, and it wasn't his day for show jumping. But I did kind of run into a couple new, I learned some new stuff about riders. So there's six of us girls, and we were walking along, and you know, you get super emotional when anybody shows like just appreciation for their horse or love, because so many people ride by and it's robotic, or you're not catching them at the moment that they really appreciate their horse. And there was a guy named, because we looked him all up, a guy named Braden Speck. Oh, and yeah, he was in the 4-star.
Yep.
And we were
wasn't
the combinations.
First time in a 4-star, if I remember right.
Yeah. Yeah. I've never heard of him. So we're watching him ride. And I swear to you, he goes through this combination. And as he's landing at the last jump of the combination, he just starts praising his horse. Oh my God, love you so good. What a good girl. Good boy. Good boy. Like this whole thing. It was so sweet. And so then we had to do a deep dive on Braden Speck. Did you know he is leaving Eventing to go to vet school?
Yes.
After he's crazy. So like,
yeah, they talked
my
about
gosh.
That on the feed, on the video feed. Yeah.
Yeah. So we looked all that up and found out that. And then I saw, you know, like the morning of show jumping, I see Tim Price, and you know, they're warming up for show jumping and he's waiting on his horse to be brought down. And all these kids are like, can we get a picture? And he like runs over and he's like patting him on the head, talking to all these kids. It was just like, I was like, that guy gets it. You know, like you, all these children worship these, I mean, children and adults worship these riders. And some of them are just so generous with giving back. And so he was like, he won an award. Then a guy named Alexander Conrad, who did his first 5-star, we were walking around the trade fair and I see this guy sitting down at a table, like, and a stack of pictures next to him, but nobody's talking to him. And then I look at the board next to him, was like, Alex Conrad from here from 4 o'clock. And I was like, oh my God, that's him. But there's nobody at his table. And so I did one of those like, oh my gosh, Alex Conrad is signing autographs. And we went over and all of us lined up and we're all getting autographs. And he's like talking to us about his horse and all this. And then a line forms and it was like 100 people deep by the time we were done. I was like, mission accomplished. He signed all the pictures, but he was super sweet and had a Malibu Moon thoroughbred. Like, oh my gosh, we were just rooting for him. And he finished, I think he finished in 4th, which is awesome.
You had one assignment at this one, though, and I see you accomplished it, and that was to embarrass Danny at Dewberry. And did you accomplish that goal, embarrassing Danny? Did you yell from across the field?
So Danny, the Dewberry guy who stands in the bucket, nobody knows his name. So we interviewed him, found his name, and I said, okay, well, every time anybody walks by the CSAM, please yell Danny. And so the first time we walked by, I'm like, Danny! And he just like looks up and around. And he's like, oh God. And so then the rest of my party proceeds to yell Danny. And apparently on day 3 of yelling Danny, when he walks by, he is no longer amused. Like, no longer amused. So
did you tell him who you were at some point?
Oh yeah. Yeah, okay. Oh yeah. I went up to him and he was like, and then he was like, yeah, thanks for that.
We warned him.
By day 4, when we walked back after show jumping and he's still standing in the bucket, we're like, there's 6 of us. Danny! Everybody yells Danny. And he just turns around. I was like, I don't think he's amused anymore, friends.
From the podcast to the barn, here's some hidden birthday wishes to keep you warm.
We have one auditor birthday today. Kendra G, happy birthday to you. And also happy birthday to Hunter. He's the guy you just heard singing the birthday song. It's his birthday. So I hope that his mom, who listens to this show, plays it for him so he knows we actually do use it. Happy birthday, Hunter, and thank you for doing
Hunter!
That song for us. Hunter! Every time you see him, scream that out. And we have a brand new auditor, Sheila. Welcome to the party. We're so glad you're here, and thank you for your support of the show.
I have just too many things to talk about right now because I'm so excited, but I would like to tell you that, oh, sweet little Lucas, my son, won his first tennis tournament. Oh, I'm so yay. Proud, and I told him I was going to give him my daily Winnie, so congratulations.
Congratulations, Lucas.
It was, like, hard fought. Everything went to tiebreakers. Glenn, I know you understand all of that,
yep.
And it was, like, he had the longest matches, like, kids that were, like, apparently one of the kids' serves was just out of this world, and the kid was, like, shocked Lucas was returning it, and he beat the kid and won, and then he got a medal. Why can't I get a medal? I mean, I get these stupid 30-cent ribbons after fighting, and he fights, and he gets a medal? I won. We need to change things.
You took up the wrong sport.
I know. They probably gave him a check, too.
Congratulations, Lucas. That is special when that happens, especially in a hard-fought match like that where every set goes to a tiebreaker, and it seems like that happens, and it's not just one set, it's every set, and it's always three sets, and then you're always dead after because you just played for 2 hours, and you've tried to turn that damn guy's serve for 2 hours. I get it.
Yeah. Yeah. Last night he came walking down to the bar, and but I say walking.
Hobbling. It's hard work when you're playing with a guy that hits that hard because he's moving you around the whole time.
Yeah.
Good for him.
He did singles and it was his first victory. So yay!
Good job, Lucas. Very proud of him.
All right. Then the other thing that I did that you don't know about. Well, do you want highlight or let's just be honest. So Thursday we went to New Vocations to their open barn and barbecue, you know?
Yeah.
So they had that. And my friend Brooke is looking for a horse. She adopted one from Horse and Hound forever ago, and she's bought her own property. So she's moving to her own farm, but she needs two. I told her she needs three, but at least two to get, you know, cause like he can't be by himself. So we looked around New Vocations for her, and then and we ended up making another appointment for Sunday morning before show jumping because we wanted to like really go through and jog all the horses, because on Thursday night, open barn and barbecue, it seemed like there was 1,000 people there. There were so many people there. It was crazy. It was crazy. So I were looking at horses, and there's this young 3-year-old.
Oh, no.
Disaster gray, beautiful, fit, healthy, just got off the track yesterday, and he's there on Thursday, and he was like so pretty, and there was a billion people around his stall. And so, you know, I have a current application at New Vocations that's approved, but I mean, I just have it just in case. Like I don't need a horse. I just got a horse. I don't need a horse. So we're walking around, we're looking, this one's really sweet, but there's like a billion people around its stall and everything. But Sunday morning we go there, we're jogging a bunch of them. We see that gray horse out in the stall, and he's running around. I mean, he was basically doing backflips. It's a horse right off the track that's out in the pasture, and he's cantering 5-meter circles and just bucking and running downhill and bucking downhill and spinning around. Looked like he was cutting cattle out there. He was just playing. I was like, whew, that's a lot of horse. And she was like, yeah, he's 3. He just came off the track, you know, a couple of days ago. And I was like, whew, y'all better be careful who that gets that horse, because everybody wants a gray, but that's a lot of horse. That is a big, giant, bitey, wild 3-year-old right off the track. Yeah. Jamie, you know, we'd love for you to take it. I'm sorry. Wait, what? Yeah. So I don't know if you know this, but you have $1,000 credit because my last horse that didn't survive. So you have $1,000 credit. And also repeat adopters get half price.
So it was free.
It was basically free, Glenn. And I'm like, my girlfriends are like, if you don't adopt that horse, somebody's going to get that horse and they're not going to be successful with it. And it literally looks just like Ace at 3-2. And Ace was also wild. And so I was like, wait, hold on. Let me do some math. I can afford that. So my new horse arrives on Friday.
Did the other girl get a horse, or was it just you?
So she ended up getting some radiographs and sending it her vet. And so they're consulting on some things. And of course,
Jamie doesn't do that. She just takes them broken and everything.
Well, I said to her, I was like, my friend Brooke, I was like, Brooke, listen, if you want this gray horse, then obviously it's yours. She was like, I don't want that horse. Like, no, thank you.
I noticed how you said you figured out the price, but you didn't count the number of stalls you have left, which is probably zero.
So. Excuse me. I have 7 stalls and 6 horses.
Oh, well, you're good.
I mean, it
you
had
needed
to
another
be.
One then. And it's free. So, I mean, why not?
And it was basically free. I mean, shipping is whatever. It's a that's credit card. It's fine. And so, but yeah, I did get him for a very good price. And it was like, they were like, you'd be dumb to not take this horse because you can fix this horse and you can help this horse. And I have the experience to help a horse that is that much. I say that now. Watch me in like 3 months be like broadcasting from the hospital. So we'll see. We'll see how
actually,
it goes.
Normally I bust your chops about this, but actually I'm kind of glad that it's you and not somebody else because it has a chance with you. So
thank you. That, well, that's what everybody said. And then I'm like,
basically, now what did husband say? Basically, or haven't you told
if him you, yet? They were like, if you don't buy this horse, he's going to go to Mexico. I was like, he's at New Vocations. He's fine. Yeah. But you don't understand.
So what did your husband say? Or haven't we told him yet?
Oh, no, I talked to him. I sent him a picture of me scratching it. And he was like, oh, that horse is pretty. Whose horse is that? And I was like, well, I think it's mine. And he was like, that is great. Congratulations. Because there's a piece of an airplane that I wanted to get because he now wants to build his own airplane. So he's like, you get that horse. And I was like, never mind. I don't want the horse. Don't get an airplane you're going to build. But I don't know what's going to happen. But
do you have any non-gray horses at the farm currently? Other than one little butter color one? Do you have any
other? I've got butters. I've only got one gray right now, Glenn. Oh, just one. Yeah. So because Miles is at the ranch. And so, all I have is Ace. And this is literally the same.
You can't have one gray. They get lonely if they don't have another gray in the barn.
I feel like I've invested in so much shampoo that I feel like it's I would be doing a service.
Well, I have learned through the years of doing this with you not to congratulate you till about that 3-month mark. So we'll come back to this in about 3 months and discuss it again, and then I'll congratulate you. Okay.
Well, here's the part that I just had to do because Gray, his name is Gray Lux, Greylux. Okay. So he's gray, he's luxurious, he's Gray Lux. His sire is Essential Quality, who was a ridiculously amazing horse. And guess who Essential's Quality's sire is? Tappet.
Oh, Tappet. Wow. You have a Tappet horse.
Tappet is Ace's granddaddy. They're cousins.
You have a whole
They're
family
cousins.
Going there.
So, I mean, I was like, I can't let your cousin Ace just like get on a truck to Mexico from that bougie rescue that he lives at. Okay. Like, obviously, I have to save him. So
I assume
now,
they're all snipped that go there, right? So he snipped.
Yes. He's already snipping. I don't have to go through that again. And so I have my buckskin Andalusian, and then I have 2 gray thoroughbreds, and then I have a bay thoroughbred, and then I have a dun quarter horse, and then I have Butters, my little Palomino angel, who is really needing a castration now.
Well, I can't say it. In 3 months, I will congratulate you. Okay.
Thank you. Thank you. I'll post some pictures on Facebook. And well, you know what? I'm not going to post anything till he gets here.
Yeah,
he should be here. They told me Saturday at 4 p.m. I laughed and or Friday at 4 p.m. And they laughed because I'm sure it'll be Friday
Sunday.
At 4 a.m. It's Bob Hubbard. Yeah. Bob Hubbard is the best transport, but they always get here at 4 a.m. So we'll see how it goes.
Well, you know what was announced yesterday that was shocked? By the way, we're going to talk about the Kentucky Derby all Friday show. So there'll be Kentucky Derby talk on Friday. So look forward to that. We'll do our usual Kentucky Derby trivia, and we have a special guest joining us for that. But it was announced yesterday that Donna Brothers, we all know Donna Brothers. She's the one that rides and interviews people after the race. She's been doing it for 26 years, and she announced this is her last year. She's retiring after this. She's 60 years old, and she said she wants to slow down and, enjoy life a little bit, not have this stress. So she's retiring after this. And, you know, she was a rider. A lot of people forget she was a jockey. She had 1,100 wins before she retired. So, you know, she's really good at that. I can't imagine anybody else doing that as effectively as she did it. And
she's
sometimes
so
on a
good.
Horse that was not so good either. So, I mean,
yeah.
But we actually interviewed, and I don't know if you'll even remember this, but tomorrow we were supposed to have a dark day. It's our fifth Thursday of the month. Well, tomorrow I'm going to replay this episode that we did. And get this, Jamie, in episode 5 of our show, which was November 5th of 2010, it was our fifth episode ever, we interviewed her. Not only that, on this episode, do you remember this? We interviewed the exercise writer of Zenyatta, Steve Willard, was on the show. And remember, that's when it was all happening. And he was the exercise writer for Zenyatta, and we had him on the show. So tomorrow on, and also it was the first time Frankie Lovato joined us on a show. So all of that's going to be, I'm going to replay it tomorrow. Now remember, the sound sucked. It was AM radio bad, but the content is great, and I was able to fix it up a little. So I know 99.9% of you listening have never heard that episode and don't know what we sounded like in the early days. By the way,
I'm sorry.
It brought back memories, though. We took callers back then because we were live. We had a bunch of callers on episode 5, and I was shocked when listening back to it. So,
did you recognize any of the names, any of the people?
Yeah, there were
called
one
in?
Or two, but not others. And I was like, wow, that's, I just, you know, we forget the feeling the show had back then was different. It sounded terrible sound-wise, but for us, it was fun to do because of that. But anyway, yeah, so it was a whole show devoted to Zenyatta.
So when I go to Kentucky, I can't just do three-day eventing stuff. I have to do a lot of racehorse stuff. So I booked a tour to Lane's End, the Mares and Foals tour, knowing that Zenyatta is one of the mares at Lane's End, and they don't say you're going to get to see her, but we showed up at Lane's End and we got to be getting this little cart, and the lady grabs a whole bunch of carrots and puts them in the cart and took us right to Zenyatta.
Yay!
And so I got to hang out with her, and she's super friendly, and she came up to the fence and we were all feeding her carrots, and it was just so wonderful. Just, it's just so crazy how these racehorses are like celebrities to, you know, some people like me, I see them and it's just a celebrity. And she was so lovely.
When in fact,
and
she's just a horse, right? I mean, she's a horse.
She's a horse, but she's a celebrity horse. And I just have loved her for so long. I've got her briar sitting right next to me here. I mean, just really, really amazing. So I was, yeah, it was awesome. I got to hang out with Zenyatta.
And I will post that picture in tomorrow's episode that we're doing, we're putting out special.
Well, let's hear from our title sponsor, Chewy. Fend off those flies with the help of Chewy. Keep your horse comfortable with feed-through fly control, fly sprays and roll-ons, and protective gear like masks, sheets, and boots. If you haven't already, now's the time to set your essentials on auto ship so you're covered all season long. Chewy has top brands you trust like Simplify, Ultra Shield, Cashel, Shoe Fly, and more all in one place. Shop online at chewy.com/equine or in the Chewy app today. Fewer flies and more ride time for life with horses. There's Chewy. Now, Chewy also had a ginormous booth at the Kentucky 3-Day Glen. I mean, and it was a prize bonanza. They had a big wheel and you could spin the wheel and it would either be something for you, something for your horse, something for your barn. And these were the choices, or custom portrait. It was like a little thing. And they had an artist in there doing custom freaking portraits of your horse. If you won the custom portrait, I did not. Mine said something for the horse, which is perfect because what they gave out, it's so cool. I'm going to look like a sponsored rider because they gave out Chewy saddle pads.
Really?
It was awesome. Yes.
Is that why I saw pictures of the Chewy booth and the line was about 200 deep to get into the Chewy booth? Is that why?
Yeah, they had so much stuff. So we went on the first day. So it was Thursday. And they were like, oh, you got something for your horse. You wanted a Chewy pad or the Chewy dewormer? They were giving away Quest Plus dewormers. And I was like, well, I just bought from Chewy 5 Quest Plus dewormers, 6 Quest Plus dewormers. And they were like, well, here's number 7. Little did I know I would be getting a horse. So now he has his own Quest Plus dewormer too. It's perfect. So now, they were just giving away so much stuff. And I was like, y'all might want to hold on to this because like, y'all got a long way to go this Thursday and you give me two prizes. And they were like, oh my God, you have no idea the stuff we brought. They brought so much stuff to give away. And I mean, come on, custom chewy saddle pads. I was like, it was great. I was really excited. And so I've got it.
Well, now I know why that booth was so popular.
Yes, they were so popular.
And of course, I think they provided the shirts for the volunteers because we kept seeing them on the feed all day for cross country. The chewy shirts. I think they provided the volunteer shirts. So they're a good company. They really are. Well, you know what it's time for now?
I don't.
Join us as we chat with past guests to find out, where are they now?
Well, you all recently heard Alan Moorhead on the show. He was host of the Western Radio Show that we did a long time ago here on the Horse Radio Network. His co-host was Tammy Sarantz. Tammy first made an appearance on the Horse Radio Network in 2010 because she was one of the winningest mounted shooters in the world, probably still is. And many of you know her now as the Director of Operations for Road to the Horse. More importantly, she's our friend. Hi, Tammy.
Hey, Glenn, 2010, that sounds like that's forever ago.
It was forever ago. That's 16 years ago, girl. But I met you, to go back further in time, we met before that. And I don't remember how, but I remember you came in for the World Equestrian Games, and we put you up the farm we kept our horses at. And we spent some time there together, and that's how we got to know each other. So that's 17, 18 years ago, Tammy.
Wow. I remember that. I was thinking about that the other day, actually, because I remember pulling out all these guns in my horse trail. I'm like, Glenn, look at this one. Glenn, look at that one.
Jamie,
and I'm like, wow.
She had guns in her horse trailer everywhere. In the living quarters. She got one out of the microwave. And that, I don't think is safe. You know, I really don't think that was safe. But there were literally guns everywhere. And you did demonstrations at WEG that year, right?
Yeah, and I went up for the Trail Riding Association that I was doing some marketing for. So that was a great event. I really enjoyed World Equestrian Games.
We have a special coming up when we're away in May where we're talking about Dr. Lyons, and I have Samantha, my co-host for that show, for the WEG show, and the director of marketing for Alltech is joining us, and we're talking about how important Dr. Lyons was to it, and that'll be coming up in May. But it brought back all these memories, Tammy. That was the most, if I had to pick one event I've been to in the horse world that was incredible, it was that one.
Probably for me too. I was fortunate enough to go and watch the world finals for dressage and jumping here in Fort Worth a couple of weeks ago. And that was phenomenal. But that event was so immersive, and it was just, you know, you were watching something very special. It was very cool.
Well, this segment is Where Are They Now? So we're going to, obviously, we know you're the boss over at Road to the Horse and you just got finished with that. But are you still doing mounted shooting and stuff? What are you up to?
I am. I would love to say nothing's changed, Glenn. There's still guns being pulled out of every bucket and every horse trailer and pile of ammo and balloons next to my washing machine, you know, so out of
She's
my pockets.
She's not lying. She's not lying. We stayed at her house 3 or 4 years ago. We camped there, and she does have, that is true.
I will tell you, there's a problem when I fly because I take my camera, my professional work camera, to mounted shooting competitions. And sometimes when I'm unloading ammo, I just throw it into whatever bag is close. And there has been a few times me going through the airport, I've been pulled aside and they're like, ma'am. And I'm like, listen, there's just a bunch of batteries in that. And they pull out like dozens of rounds of 45 shells. I was good. I just melt. I'm like, oh my gosh, I am so sorry. And the guy starts picking out the good rounds from the bad rounds. And he's like, ma'am, would you like the spent ones back? And I'm like, I want nothing to do with it. Keep them all. Like, so occasionally my worlds collide, Glenn, and it causes trouble.
Now, in your defense, they're blanks. So, I mean,
yes, sir.
That is true. You know, not that it wouldn't scare the crap out of people on an airplane.
they are. So, and I did have some friends from the Australian team come out and try mounted shooting when they were here for the World Cup.
Oh, really?
So, yes. So that was, and they brought a bunch of Australian candy. And then, you know, we kind of traded. They gave me candy from Australia. I gave them some ammo. And it was a very Texan experience from no one from Texas.
Was it the jumpers or the dressage riders?
Dressage riders.
Oh, my God. Did they have fun?
They really did. And I have to tell you, I was a little self-conscious about my barn because I know some of those dressage barns are, you know, spick and span. So I was, you know, kind of cleaning up around there. I'm like, geez,
I'm going to feel judged.
Yeah.
Company coming.
Yeah, exactly.
I remember one of the things, Jamie, I remember about Tammy's house is the house beside her had a million, you know, we don't know what they're used for, but we have a guess, had a million birds in the yard. Did they finally arrest those people or they still have a million birds in the yard?
You know, no, they've moved on.
Okay,
them and the birds have moved on. So that house actually belongs to a really large cutting horse ranch that's behind me. So that's their help. So they, you know, there's a little fiesta over there Friday nights, but they're good people.
It was unique.
Yeah. Now, no one bothers me, Glenn. I'm shooting every day.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, nobody's coming to your house.
No.
So are you still competing?
I am. I am on a sad note. I am sad to say I did lose my old shooting horse. He was 31 years old, November last year.
And I was very sorry to see that because I know he was your life horse.
He defined me, you know, he was, you know, very seldom do we have these horses that not only change our direction, but change, you know, our life and who we are in such a dramatic fashion. And that horse done that for me. And because he was so old, you know, I mean, I just let him, he had the run of the ranch and I thought losing him wouldn't hurt as bad because he wasn't part of my everyday riding program anymore. But that was the lie.
Yeah, I know.
He was very well up until he wasn't well and he colicked. And I remember just crying at the vets. And then I went and got myself a Diet Coke from Chick-fil-A and I went and sat at the lake for about 5 hours. And so those horses, you know, we're blessed to have them, you know, and losing him was super, super hard. But I do have his sister at the house and I do have a little yearling baby brother from him.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So, yeah. So I've got more siblings, but, you know, you can't replace, you know, you can clone them and not replace them, you know, like, so
not
anyway.
Only that, when you get a horse that's like he was, and I mean, how many belt buckles are in your house because of him? About 100
buckets of them.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, yeah.
Yeah. But when you get a horse like that, you just, there's a comfort there, right? So you know what you're going to get every time you go out. And then when you have to start over, it's hard.
Oof. The thing I tell myself is like, because I've, you know, I hate to say gone through a bunch of horses looking for that other special horse, but I always tell my mounted shooting students that come out, you have to compare apples to apples. So you can't say, I don't have this great relationship with this horse if you haven't put 10 years on the road like you did the last horse, you know? Mm. So I remind myself that, yes, I don't have this relationship with this horse yet, but it doesn't mean it's not possible because I hated that horse the first 12 months I had him. He was awful. And I hate his baby brother, the little yearling. He ran past me as a weanling and broke my foot, you know? Like, but that's the joy of it. And so I think it's really important to know that, you know, building these relationships is what takes a lot of time. And, you know, that's an endeavor.
I got to tell you too, Kentucky just ended. And how many of those eventers, Jamie, when they got those special horses, hated them at the beginning because those special horses usually are a handful.
There's a reason they have talent because they're not easy.
And they also have opinions.
they do. You know, I was at the World Finals in Fort Worth watching the dressage. And obviously, as you know, I know very little about dressage and the people and the horses in it. But this lady was having her last ride on this international horse. And I had tears in my eyes because I can't imagine the dedication it takes to bring a horse to that level, fly it around the world to compete. And watching her just overcome with emotion when she got done and how appreciative that crowd was of that moment. Like, that was the one thing I remember from the Dressage World Cup. Like, that, those relationships, those special horses, they're once in a lifetime.
You know, I know Jamie didn't get to go down, but you went. And did you go to both jumping and dressage, Jamie?
I was supposed to go just to the dressage. And I met one of our judges, David O'Connor, there. And then I had booked mounted shooting lessons all Sunday, booked back to back to back. And I woke up, Glenn, and I was so excited. It had rained and my arena was, you know, too wet to teach. So I jumped on and got me some last minute tickets and I headed right back.
Yeah, I'm like, curveball.
Yeah, this is awesome.
Well, one of the things I kept seeing reported, especially from the international riders, is they had never, especially the dressage riders, they had never met a crowd like that in all their time of going around the world.
They said that at there, and I didn't understand the difference.
Well, you're rowdier. There, you
don't yell. Shh, be quiet. Yeah. Hush now.
Yeah, we're used to watching cuttings and rain cowboys and. Yeah. You know,
there's a lot of cheering going on during rodeo, not so much during dressage. So,
well, that wasn't Fort Worth.
That's what they said. They said it was different.
I kept saying it was different. And I'm like, they probably say they appreciate the crowd everywhere they go, but maybe they really did.
No, they really did. It was true. That's funny. So good now the other thing Tammy does that Jamie and I just don't understand, we don't have an ounce of this in our bodies, and that's running marathons. Are you still doing that?
I did my first ultra January.
Okay,
50K.
You're just screwed up in the head, Tammy.
Someone told me my fun meter was broken.
It's probably true.
But I will tell you this, like, and it's really funny because someone asked me to go running with them next week. And I'm like, what's your mile rate? They're like 8 minute miles. And I'm like, I never ran an 8 minute mile in my life. I'm like, don't be confused with what I do with how athletic I am, you know?
Determination and grit.
I'm just hard headed. I'm not athletic.
So you did 100 or a 50?
I did a 50 and I want to do 100. Yeah, that'll be this year sometime. So I went running this morning, but... For me, you know, there's a lot of things, and I think it's important that we take our time to know what we need to do to ourselves to make ourselves confident and mentally happy. You know, like, I mean, we give so much to this world and with so many digital devices in our life, like there's so many demands of us. So it's important for me, especially after my TBI, to say, I'm going to dedicate this time to myself. And if I have to get up at 4:30 in the morning, I will. And I'm going to run so I'm mentally at a better place, you know, for the rest of my day. And that's what I do. So it's about peace. It's about feeling strong. It's about being there for my horses and feeling like I'm still pretty, you know, kind of athletic. So, you know, it's kind of therapy, Glenn.
You just ran a 50 mile. I am feeling very lazy and out of shape right now.
It took me 7 hours and 40 minutes.
Still,
I just stopped for snacks.
You did it. Congratulations. Well done. You know,
I did. Yeah.
And I'm so glad, you know, for listeners that don't know, Tammy was in a really bad accident. How many years ago is that now?
Gosh, 2011 was the accident. 2012, I had surgery.
And we didn't think after that accident that you were going to be doing anything, let alone any of the things you have accomplished in your life. So good on you.
Yeah. I will say the thing that I struggle with most, not to jump in the deep end, but once you've been on top of the world and on top of the mountain in a horse sport, and then you're not there anymore, it's very, very difficult. Because someone asked me why I only care about finishing a run, but I can't go to a mounted shoot and come second. And that was a really interesting question. And I'm very happy coming in close to the bottom of the pack at the run. Hell, I finished, you know, but the shoots, not so much. But I think once you've been to the top, you've got that mindset that it takes to get there. And I know I have other demands in my life now. You know, I'm a teacher, I'm a student, I'm here at work, I'm running Road to the Horse, I'm doing all these things. And I'm a combination of these things now, not just that. And you can't be at the top of your game when you have all these irons in the fire. You know, you need to live and breathe that one thing. And that's been hard for me to deal with. I mean, I love to compete, I love to do well. But I've got to know that I've lived a more balanced life now, and that's going to look a little different in the show pen. I might come in with a green horse, or I might come in with a horse that I know has got no chance, but I'm out there just kind of get seasoning them and all the other things. So it looks different, and that's hard.
You know what, though? I bet you if Jamie, when she was in Kentucky, had talked to any of those riders that had been on the top, they would have all said the same thing. Because there's a certain gene in there, a certain drive that only exists in the top.
And yes, correct.
That's how you feel. I mean, you don't get there unless you have that drive. So, you know, when you're coming down off of that, and it you know, it takes some time. You're doing it. You're adjusting now to the new reality, right? To the, to your and look where you've been since your head injury. You know, director of operations for Road to the Horse, you would have never dreamed that would have happened after your head injury, right? We were barely, we were wondering if you were going to be able to do anything at that time.
Correct.
So,
yeah.
But it's because of that drive you had then that you're able to do the things now.
Yeah. And it's just, you know, it's not that I woke up after my head injury and be like, oh, I'm a warrior. I'm going to go kill it. You know, like it's step by step. It's day by day. It's one foot in front of the other, you know. So same thing running a marathon. I mean, I'm just looking at the next crack on the sidewalk, hoping to get there, you know, and then the next one, and then the next one before you know it, you know.
Well, so, if it was Jamie and I, we'd be 10 cracks down and not getting there. So, I mean.
I'll be like, he's at the water stop, mile one.
I'll be at the fast food place at half a mile. What are you talking about?
We have to run past the ice cream shop in the Fort Worth Marathon, and I'm just like, just one day, I'm going to break.
Jamie has a saying. What's your saying about running, Jamie?
If you see me running, you should run too, because something's chasing me.
Or a gate was left open.
Yeah, that's true. Or the gate was left open, exactly. I am so glad to hear you're doing so well. And I heard good things about Road to the Horse this year. And of course, we covered it because as you know, I was promoting Elisa to you for many years.
She was wonderful.
Wasn't she good?
I'm so glad you got her. That was awesome.
And I would love to have her back. I really would. She was super cool. She was sticky. She was gritty. She was down to earth. She was all the amazing things that we thought she would be, and I'm really glad she was able to take that little colt home with her. So that's super cool.
Did you see her in Kentucky, Jamie? Elisa?
Yeah, we got to hang out with her a little bit. She did some demo with Fledge, her Mustang. Mm-hmm. So we get to go watch that. It's just it's the magic that she has with horses is just incredible. Just incredible. And I'm so glad she was able to do that. To do the makeover, the Road to the Horse.
Yep. Yeah. She had wanted to do it for a few years, but her schedule had kind of kept her out. So hopefully we'll have her back if that schedule allows her the next year and the year after. And so, yep, she's in the family now.
Tammy probably gets mad at me because I'm always sending her suggestions of people to have at Road to the Horse. And she's very kind and polite, but I'm sure she's like, Glenn, would you just stop?
No, send them on through. Send them on through.
Tammy, we love you. Thank you so much for joining us again.
Yeah, it's good to listen to y'all. I do. I actually tuned in and listened to Alan's recap myself because I was kind of, you know, curious because I run into Alan all the time. He's like my big brother. Yeah, we still have a bunch of fun at the Bower Race events that I go to cover marketing for. So it's kind of funny that, you know, circles cross all the time.
It's small world. It really is. It really is.
Yeah, it sure is.
Thanks, Tammy. Appreciate it.
For first-time horse owners and new riders just starting out, finding the information and support you need can be challenging. That's why Equine Network has partnered with Sentinel Feed to bring you My New Horse, a place where equestrians just getting into horse ownership or riding will find the resources and community they need at precisely their stage of the equine journey. From important horsekeeping information and how-to videos to social media communities and more, My New Horse is your one-stop shop for riders of all levels and disciplines who are eager to find easy-to-understand horse care information and guidance. Start your horse ownership journey today. Visit mynewhorse.com.
Time to welcome our friend from Horse Nation, Deanne. Hello.
Hello. How are you today?
uh-oh, somebody's got a stuffy nose.
Yeah, I was at a show this last weekend and I spent most of Sunday going, oh man, I don't think I slept well enough. Like I can't get warm and I just don't feel great. Turns out I'm sick.
Yeah, that weird that that happens. So usually when we talk to you, you are somewhere like sometimes the tack room in your barn. There's a variety of places we've talked to you. Where are you today?
I'm actually huddled on my couch, but once we're off, I'm headed to the barn because I am, despite sounding like this and feeling like this, packing up for this weekend.
Of course. Of course.
Because well, I leave tomorrow afternoon. So, you know, so I'm going to be a little bit warm this morning and pretend that that'll be enough to get me through.
Where are you headed?
I am going to a facility called Garwood Arena in Columbiana, Ohio for a shoot put on by the Ohio L-Bar Shooters, but it's technically a local shoot, but they have $10,000 added money and the numbers have gotten impressive. And it's about, we have almost as many registered as you would get at like a national competition. It's going to be awesome.
Mama needs a new saddle. Come on, baby.
Well, yeah. Mama needs to get her head on straight and learn how to shoot her balloons.
It's mounted shooting day.
It's ironic. Yeah. We just had Tammy Sarantz on, which is a name you probably know because she's probably won more competitions in mounted shooting than anyone in the country. And she's open for lessons. You can go to Texas anytime.
Oh, nice. Nice. Yeah. Although I tell you what, it's raining and it was so flipping cold over the weekend and it's not going to be warm this weekend. Texas sounds great.
Yeah. There you go.
Uh-huh. Yeah. No kidding. No kidding. Well, so we are going to talk to you about a couple stories going on here on Horse Nation. And the first one is Thoroughbred Logic, which I think I need some of. So talk to me about this article.
So this article wasn't a joke at all. Like it's actually serious, but I still kind of have to laugh at it because the title was, "What Did You Do This Time?" And I swear, if you haven't asked your horse that at least 15 times, do you really even own one? Like,
it's so true.
I feel like you get to the barn and you just like shake your head and throw your hands up and be like, well, what'd you do this time? Yeah.
James, what did you do today? We have that with James here. Yes, yep. He's that one.
Yeah. And
so tell everybody a little bit about this horse and how y'all are kind of chronicling his career, I guess.
Well, so this is actually an article written by Horse Nation staff writer Aubrey Graham, and she focuses on restarting off-track thoroughbreds primarily for eventing, but she's also, she doesn't totally pigeonhole them, like, right, she has some that she recognizes would be better as fox jumpers or whatever, but she's English focused. So that's her realm. So she always has a fleet of thoroughbreds, and which is, as somebody who also owns and loves thoroughbreds, I feel like they're especially good at the what did you do now approach to things. So she's talking about Barbados, one of the horses in her barn, who has been getting himself into some trouble, from hematomas to lost shoes to the random lamenesses and abscesses, you know, all the things that horses like to do as you're trying to train and resell or show or, you know, just otherwise have one
exist.
Have one of
them exist.
Right. So we haven't gotten like the full picture of Barbados lately. This was one of the early introductions to him, but I believe he's one of hers that she's bringing on a little bit more slowly because he wasn't an obvious restart, right? Like she always has a few that she takes on that need a little bit more attention.
So let's go through the list quick. Lost shoes, unexplained lamenesses, abscesses, hematoma, leg wounds, got kicked, eye ulcer, cellulitis, and scuffs from tussles with friends and fever, all with one horse. Why is it always one horse in the barn? It's always the same horse, too, that has all the things.
Right? And then you look at, like, as somebody who manages a boarding barn, I sort of laugh because I'm like, the horses who have the most, I think, like, diligent owners somehow manages to be the it always manages to be that horse, but it's never the horse who like got thrown in the field and forgotten about, where I just get a check every month. Like, that sucker lives out there and is fine.
It's like you drive around, and I know Jamie sees this more in Oklahoma than we do, but you drive around and there's these horses out in a paddock with equipment and sharp edges and junk in the fields everywhere, and hasn't been cleaned in 30 years. They never get hurt. Why is that?
Well, and you look at that and I think like my horse would die. She would be like, exactly. Let me find this sharp edge, rub on it, turn to my other side, rub on it again, because I didn't learn my lesson the first time.
It's so true. Jamie, who's yours right now, Jamie? That horse.
Glenn, I refuse to answer that question, so I did not jinx myself.
Oh, yeah. And never say that the horse has been doing well, because then you'll jinx yourself twice.
Yeah. Yeah. How's everybody in your pasture? I don't know.
I don't know, man. Haven't looked.
I don't know. Yeah, we're good. Yeah. So she's got one of those horses. He's super cute though, but you can check out all the pictures and the lovely picture of the huge hematoma on horsenation.com, because horses are fun. Yay.
We love horses.
So the other thing I wanted to talk about was you wrote an article on, gosh, the darn diesel prices.
Oh my God. Yeah. This was one, as I was getting ready for my own show season, and I'm like watching the cost of diesel. And then like my 11-year-old, who is 11 going on about 35 and listens to everything I say, so I have to be careful, but we'll be driving and she'll be like, did you see the diesel price at that station? And I'm like, Arden, just like, don't even, man. And she's like keeping an eye out, like, mommy, that station's less, go there.
Atta girl. Atta girl, got the eagle eyes, the young eyes on it.
Right. But I was laughing at this, at like things we are completely rational things we're doing with the diesel prices soaring. And the one is like sad, but true, right? Like mentally invoicing your horse for its poor performance, mm-hmm. like blew that lead change. That was $120 in diesel.
That's so true. Like, dude, I spent, that was one whole tank of gas just to get here, you butthead. I got to drive all the way home now in shame.
Right, right. Or like falling deeply passionately in love with local shows. Oh, you know, we're just schooling. We don't need to do any top circuit things.
The local shows are just, that's like my life now. Like how close, like how, do I have to go that far? No, I'm good. But nope. I don't even do it because of diesel costs. I just go, I don't want to drive that far, too far.
Right, right. This shoot coming up, actually, like, it's accidentally very close. Like, it's one of the closest arenas to me, which is lovely.
But that's not carpool. Yeah, you could always carpool.
Can always carpool. All right, I laugh, right? You like carpool, throw two roughies in the dressing room and see how many you can squeeze into your three horse.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. My friend Patty comes and picks me up and we go places together. And the thing is, you got to make sure your friend's horse loads really well, because if they don't and you're stuck like loading their horse, oh my God, carpool ends real quick.
Yeah, knock on wood, my friends and I all have pretty good loading
horses. Like, don't say that. Remember,
I'm knocking. I'm knocking. Yep.
It's true. My parents were obsessed, and we all have the parents and grandparents that were obsessed with fuel prices. Like, they knew every gas station in town, what the price was every day. They would drive across town spending more gas than they probably saved, right? More money than they probably saved to get that gas at the cheaper station. So I grew up not wanting to worry about that at all. And then diesel approached $6 a gallon. And now all of a sudden I find myself looking at the signs and I'm kicking myself because I'm looking at the signs.
Well, yeah. I will tell you, so living in Pennsylvania, our diesel's been over six for a minute now. So I'm showing in Ohio this weekend, and anytime I show in Ohio, I fill up there because their fuel prices in general are significantly lower than Pennsylvania.
Oh, man, it's amazing how you get to know. When I lived in Arizona and we'd have to go to California for competitions,
yep.
There was the very last gas station before the state line that we always stopped at and filled up. Because
and there'd be a line.
Oh, yeah, because the second you cross into California, it's hilarious.
And the funny part is that gas station, you know, was the highest price in Arizona because it was right next to California. But it's still 50 cents cheaper than when you cross the line.
Totally worth it. Totally worth it.
Having grown up in Southern California, going to Arizona regularly, I get that.
So, yes. Deanne, guess what, though? We're not going to have a problem in Ocala anymore because a Buc-ee's is opening soon.
Oh, you're getting a Buc-ee's.
We're getting a Buc-ee's in Ocala, baby.
Nice.
140 gas pumps. It's going to be the second largest Buc-ee's in the world.
Yes, but the gas prices are still it's not free gas, right? No. You understand the concept.
Yes.
Well, and then I have this huge gripe, and I, with all fuel stations that have rewards programs, quit cutting me off at either $175 or at 30 gallons. So first of all, even my gasser half ton had a 36 gallon tank. Certainly my 3/4 ton diesel also has a 36 gallon tank. There is no time on the planet that filling up cost me under 175 at this point. Quit cutting me off.
It used to be 75 it cut you off, remember? And then 75 is like 5 gallons now, so they had to raise it.
Well, and I even remember when it was 150 and then they upped it.
Yeah.
And I get that they don't want people like bringing all their gas tanks and just filling them all up with their rewards. But I want to be like, look, I'm just trying to fill my truck.
Yeah, exactly. Without doing it 2 or 3 times.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly. Well, you guys, you can go. Deanne, I hope you can at least go to bed. Moms are superheroes, and especially horse people. We're sick. It just doesn't matter because we still have to do stuff.
Right.
So hang in there, girl. We love you tons. Best of luck this weekend. And you guys go to horsenation.com and you can see all the fun articles that they write there and follow them on Facebook, social media, wherever you look at it. And it's horsenation.com.
Time to learn why some days you're embarrassed to be part of the human race in Jamie's Weird News.
That's right. It's the time of the week where you guys send me stories that are weird. You're looking through your news and you see something. You're like, that is super weird. Email it to me, weirdnews@horseradionetwork.com. Just like Isabel, Lorraine, Janelle, Michelle, Glenn, Monica, Shannon, Charlotte, Jolynn, Stephanie, Jennifer, and Shelley. All did. They saw something and sent it to me. So I'm going to give you a couple of those right now. I don't tell you who sent what because, you know, frankly, it's none of your business. So the first one, we are going to go to Uluburi, South Australia. I'm assuming that's how you say it. Uluburi. I don't know. But this is on CCTV footage that they caught this heist. A heist, Glenn, a theft. Apparently, somebody needed to feed their animals. And I don't know. Did you see this one, Glenn, where they decided I don't know what they were doing with it. Was it for horses or sheep or whatever? I don't know. Cows. But somebody stole a round bale, like literally cut the fence, drove into a field, got a round bale, and left with
it. How do they get it into the truck?
How do you just pick up a round bale and drive away with it, Glenn? Well, it takes 2 cars. One backed up to it, one pulled up to it in the beginning, and they just drove together with it smushed in between the cars.
No.
And drove off down. It's on camera.
Did that work?
It is. So they did say that at one point they were heading downhill, and the CCTV shows the 2 drivers moving the bale by wedging it in between their cars. And at some point, the bale began to fall apart as they traveled downhill and started to unravel. So they like cut out, smushed as much as they could back together and drove off. And that's the end of the footage. No idea where they were going, what they were doing. But I mean, they were like, we need this hay and we're going to figure out a way to get it.
Oh, my God. I would have not come up with that in 100 years of how to move around bale.
You know what? You can have it. All right, so now we are going to go to, well, let's go to Ocala. Glenn, do you know where the Target in Ocala is?
Been there many times, yes.
Okay, well, maybe you were there when this guy showed up, because in a video shared by a local resident, an unidentified man can be seen entering through the double doors at Target on his zero-turn riding lawnmower. Apparently, he's some sort of social media influencer, and he has somebody with him in a white tank top who's filming him drive in. He had hit the door on the way in, drove his lawnmower into Target. The guy filming follows him as he goes all the way down, turns around and comes all the way back. What was he wearing? He was wearing overalls with nothing else under him. Just overalls, shirtless, you know, with like a field hat on. I don't know. But anyway, so the man eventually spins it around, drives through the front door, enters and then exit. He smashed the door on the way in, I think. There's videos of him just driving, cruising around Target in a lawnmower. Why? 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 Apparently, Target had to like clear the area and make repairs. And no details have been published by the Ocala police. So, Glenn, that is your job.
I got the details.
You do? What happened?
So these two dumbasses, I wish I had a dumbass sound effect. Yes, they were trying to get clicks on TikTok. It's Janik and Luke, both 18 years old. Get this. That isn't the first thing they did. The day before, they went into the Culver's restaurant, which is kind of a higher-end fast food restaurant here. They went into the Culver's restaurant with a leaf blower and proceeded to leaf blow all over the restaurant and film it. And then the next day, they did this lawnmower stunt. By the way, they've been arrested.
Oh, yay.
They've been arrested for criminal mischief and also disorderly conduct. And when you see their mugshots, you have to look up their mugshots. They look like two dumbasses trying to get clicks on TikTok. they do. Acne and all. I mean, they fit. When you picture who would have done this, it's these two.
Well, yeah,
this
maybe
was big
these
news
two,
here in Ocala. This is
maybe these two went to Columbia, Missouri next. Let's hear about that.
Okay, let's hear about that.
So where I go quite a bit, most of my grocery shopping is done at Aldi, the Aldi grocery store. Well, yeah, in Missouri,
the only place you can afford anymore.
That's true. In Missouri, they got a little more than affordable groceries. Because a Missouri man walked in to Aldi. Again, this must be for clicks. There's just no reason for this. Unless drugs are bad. He walked into Aldi, stripped down naked, and started dancing naked around the Aldi. And they have charged now Sidney Jones, 41, of Columbia, Missouri, with one misdemeanor count of first-degree sexual misconduct. Apparently, there's like adults and children and grandmas and grandpas in this Aldi. And this idiot is walking around, running around naked, dancing in the Aldi. You know what would happen if I saw somebody trying to walk around naked and dance in an Aldi?
They'd be on your TikTok.
I would grab the closest weapon and just hit them because what? There's children in here, you crazy thing. Yeah, he has been arrested.
Did he wake up that morning and go, I'm going to go do this. I've been thinking about this for 10 years, and now I'm going to finally go do it. Or was the drugs just that bad that it was a spontaneous thing?
I don't know. They did say that he is now banned from all Aldi locations and was booked in jail without bond. So he's not going anywhere. He's in trouble.
Let's see him get naked and you know, dance around in jail and see what happens. That'd be a whole different result right there.
Whole different thing. Okay. And our last one. You know what, Glenn? You're just winning today. You're winning.
Ocala? Back to Ocala?
We're going to go back to Ocala. Marion County Sheriff's deputies arrested a man after trying to escape a crime scene. Okay. So Richard Kohler, he's 25 years old. He breaks into a house on Tuesday night and starts stealing, like going through their garage and grabs a bunch of tools that he found in their garage. And of course, the people in the house called the police and they're like, hey, we're getting robbed, this guy's in the thing. And so in the time it took for the police to arrive to the scene, Richard Kohler had fled. Okay. And by the way, exactly how you would picture him. So he decided to flee the scene while holding all of these tools, but he couldn't jack a car and there was nothing else to take. So this moron steals one of the children's tricycles and is furiously found pedaling down the road with arms full of tools on a tricycle. Why would you do like, I mean,
that is as smart a man as it gets right there.
Drugs are so bad that you're like, I'm going so much faster on a tricycle than I would if I was actually just walking down the street. Drugs are bad. And yes, this guy looks exactly like you think, a 25-year-old white guy who's like, looks methed out. So I do, he's in jail.
I'm so proud of my hometown right now.
I mean, you know what? We bookended it with all sorts of Ocala stories.
We had three Florida men on the show today. I got to tell you something, though, that's serious. This is a story out of your home state of Georgia. First of all, our thoughts out to Georgia. They're having massive wildfires there. I mean, 40,
yeah, it's
50.
Awful.
It's awful. I mean, there's houses and neighborhoods. It's bad. It's California bad. Ours, fortunately, is pretty much under control right now. They cut it off at about 2,500 acres. But so it's bad there. But also something else that's bad that's happening in Georgia and not Florida. This is why I want to do this. This particular story I want to do because it's not Florida.
Because putting other people down makes you feel better about where you live.
Well, especially when it comes to deadly things that'll kill you. Because we seem to have them all in Florida. Well, now you have one in Georgia that we don't have yet. The University of Georgia researchers are warning residents about the Asian needle ant, a tiny pest increasingly prevalent in the Southeast. Unlike common ants, they hide beneath leaf litter and rocks in wooded areas instead of building visible mounds. So they hide. The main danger is their sting, which can cause severe life-threatening allergic reactions. With multiple hospitalizations reported last year, experts urge people with bug allergies to carry an EpiPen while outdoors and advise homeowners to contact a professional exterminator if they spot the ants.
A needle ant? That sounds like the worst.
It does.
Like, they're going to, like, fire ants, needle ants, death ants.
I got to tell you,
paralysis ants.
You live in Florida. You have to have your property sprayed twice a year for fire ants.
Really?
And we just had it done yesterday, and today I got two bites on the top of my foot. And how it gets in your shoe, I don't know, but they hurt for a week on the top of your
foot. So you weren't in flip-flops, you were just out.
No, I was in shoes, but they crawl up your leg, and they get in your shoe, and then it got me several times on the top of my foot. And anybody that's, you might think, oh, it's just an ant, but you've had fire ant bites.
Oh, God.
They hurt
it's
for a week.
It's so painful. Yeah. I mean,
it's not something to sneeze at. But anyway, we got sprayed. You have to here. So that's it. That's my happy story.
I pulled a tick off my leg yesterday. So, yeah, we're just fighting nature. That is the one reason winter is awesome.
Well, we're
no
gonna
bugs.
We're going to continue that with more terrifying things in the post show for the auditors.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Hold on
it's
for that.
Gonna be good.
We're gonna be coming back with that.
Well, thanks, everybody. Don't forget spay, neuter, geld. And,
good to have you back.
Good to be back. Or kind of, maybe. I mean, it's fine.